Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Wow. It is officially time. It is the greatest Tuesday I've had all week, and it is also the greatest presidential election we've had all year. I'm excited to be here for the True Wealth Radio Show. I'm your host, David Little John. Joining me today,
Matt Dixon.
And Matt, yes. Look, Matt gets tons of credit. I have been off this afternoon a little bit doing some nonprofit work in the community. I do not share that to try to get accolades. Instead, I share that to say, Matt, thank you for doing a lot of the show prep. I know we discussed some earlier, but I couldn't hold him back, everybody.
Nope.
I couldn't.
Well, here's what I wanted to do, David. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, everyone is all focused on the election, right? So we kind of got to meet people where they're at today. We got to talk about it. But how about we just take kind of a nonpartisan approach to this, and instead of like cheering for one side or the other, why don't we just look at what might happen if blank wins, if Harris wins, or if Trump wins?
No, I don't buy it.
No?
I know. I will try. This, by the way, just so you know, probably we are not nonpartisan.
We're going to try to be. But we're not.
Yeah, here's the thing. The job of being a financial professional requires less of your opinion than it does. Like the more objective you can be in your analysis, mm-hmm. then the less opportunity for the human failings, right? Like if you think about it's always the analog stuff that's the less predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what is that? Human nature, right? Humans are the problem. Like, anybody ever watched The Matrix? Like, in the end, it's like, hey, why can't we solve this equation? It's like, well, because humans choose wrong sometimes. Is it really wrong? It's like, maybe.
Well, we're not going to choose. We're not going to choose wrong in this election, David.
That's not what I'm saying. But yes, what I am suggesting is it's not very useful for us to pick teams because one team's going to win and one team's going to lose.
Right.
And believe it or not, like, if somebody votes different than me, I don't hate them. Like, I'd like to understand where their opinions come from and why their belief structure looks different than mine. But I can also say really quickly, like, there is no candidate out there that triangulates perfectly for what I want.
Well, and nobody's perfect either, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, but, like, both candidates have flaws.
Really, like, we get 50-50. And that's it. Like that's what I mean. Like right
you get two choices.
You get two choices, yeah. Right? You get one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. It's like one side of the coin or the other side of the coin. That's what your option is. Like you could say yes or not yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, I know people voting that are saying no. Right?
They're
it's
going
not
with,
a it's
with
no
a different
and not
party.
Yes. It's a what they're saying is specifically no versus a specifically yes. Right? I mean, it's really weird. We don't even talk about it that way. It's like, what's your vote? I'm voting for this or against that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I hope if you haven't, I think you should vote. I mean, it's really interesting when you get into states like Oregon has had a very one-sided vote in terms of like party strength for a long time. Like the Democrat Party has been very strong. And so whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you can find yourself going, well, my vote doesn't matter. But I still think you should vote. Let's say your vote didn't matter. I still think you should vote.
Yeah, just on the principle of
yes.
it. Like you allowed your voice to be heard. You got it out there. Mm-hmm. And now if you don't like the outcome, you can say, well, I at least made my voice heard. But if you don't vote, you have no opinion on anything.
Well, it's not just that to me, right? As an Army brat. Mm-hmm. Right. So my dad was career Army growing up. Like I look at all of the veterans past and present that literally like gave up life and limb and a lot of personal comfort and their families were at risk and all those things. Why? Because they were protecting this right.
Yeah.
And so I think there's an obligation to honor those that made a significant sacrifice. And the vote is one of the ways that you honor that.
That's true. And the other thing we sometimes forget, it's more than just the presidential piece that we're voting on in this, right? Like in Oregon, we've got a ton of ballot measures, for example, that are out there. And believe it or not, those ballot measures will probably have a greater effect on your day-to-day life than the presidential race will.
Yes.
Like, let's be realistic. There's some stuff on that ballot that is going to radically change Oregon if it passes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to...
No.
I don't know what it means. No, I am going to go there.
Oh, you are? Okay.
118 is the one
it's
where
horrible.
I'm just like, it's... I just can't find it. I don't know what the rules are, but at this point, your ballot's probably in. But if it's not, I'm like, vote no.
Yeah.
Right? Just vote no on that thing because it's such a poorly crafted concept.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just, it's not just redistribution. It's really badly done redistribution. And it's got, it's just so poorly crafted in so many ways. It's like economically, it's beyond naive. It's counterproductive economically. You will spend more than you gain. It's like, it's the opposite of investment. It's literally voting in just a pure cost.
Yeah, just taxation to death.
Yeah, well, and it's just, and it's layer after layer after layer, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, let's just make every layer of the retail delivery chain, every layer of the economic chain more expensive.
And what do you get out of it, right?
Like, less than what you will, like the cost will be greater than what you spent when you get and spent.
Yeah, but like by staggering amounts.
Oh, by
the amount you're paying in taxes.
Like, oh, here's $1,300 or $1,600 of annual supplement
it worked out to just over $100 a month.
And by the way, everything in your life will cost you $300 a month more.
Right.
Like, so it's like, really, you voted yourself a pay downgrade.
Yeah.
Like, you voted yourself less purchasing power.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a no. It's a hard no. The math doesn't math. It's just a disaster. And it was entirely like people, however they got it on the ballot measure. I don't know if it was legitimate or not, but whatever it was, it's there. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Go take your voter pamphlet out and read the people who are saying, yes, vote for this. And then read the people who are saying, no, don't do it. Everyone who says yes is basically anonymous. They don't want to put their name behind this.
Yeah.
And so
it feels like a George Soros funded kind of
it
like
totally is.
Thing.
That's what it is. So if you want to be taxed to death and get pennies on the dollar for it, go ahead and vote for it. But
yeah,
that's just craziness to me.
I'll say it more brutally than this, right? If you're voting yes on that, then I want to have a one-on-one debate with you, right? Like, I really do. But if you're voting yes on that, you're going to have to convince me that you're not an idiot.
Just straight up.
Right?
Like, you vote for
it,
you're an
idiot.
You're
just going to have to convince me that you're not a lunatic.
Yeah.
Because that is the slippery slope to socialism.
And here's the lunatic that votes for it. They're like, wait, money? You're going to give me money? Yeah, sure, whatever. Whatever it takes, just give me the money. And then it's like, idiot stamp right on the forehead.
Well, this is kind of like, oh, untested drug, but you'll give me $100? Like, sure, pump my body full of whatever you say. Okay, so it's so radically selfish. Because you're like, well, I'll take the money, but if everything goes wrong, I expect the social safety net to pay for me to be patched up. You know, everybody needs to take care of me, and I don't have any consideration for my impact on others. It's like, yeah, you're an idiot.
I love it. Well, we got down a rabbit hole.
I'm not afraid to call dumb anymore.
Yeah,
like,
why
I'm
not?
I'm just so frustrated with common sense not being able to call somebody out for, like, that's a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody's like, you can't say that. You're dispassionate and blah, blah. No, no. There are way better ways to provide a safety net than measure 118. Way better ways. Way more cost-effective ways.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a train wreck.
Yeah.
So, no.
Oregon's an experiment right now for the nation. Like, if you can pass this, oh, my goodness.
It's a terrible idea. That's not even an experiment we're doing. Some experiments you could tell from the get-go. It's like, well, what's the upside? Nothing. What's the downside? Death. Like, don't do it. Right? Like the pros and there's no pros and it's all cons. Why would you even entertain that?
What do you think the odds are this thing passes? Like, super low?
I really hope so. I actually suspect that it goes down pretty hard. I think that the vast majority of people are... you can think above a second grade level, right? I think
I think studies show that the average intelligence level is like fifth or sixth grade.
Well, I mean, if you could think above a second grader, you should be able to figure out.
There you go.
I don't, you know, and so, okay. You know, second graders are still getting a handle on reading.
I love this analogy. This is making my day. You're giving me some energy, David.
I mean,
I like it.
That's kind of where it gets to. Is it's like, well, maybe I should be more like kind about the idea. Like, well, if you actually lack the education to read and understand it, okay. But lacking the education is different than lacking the intelligence.
That's true.
So yeah. I'm like,
chew on that one.
I just struggle with the folks that are like, nope, it's a good idea to have a bad idea. Like, no, it is not. You are not supposed to make decisions.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Anyway, away we go. So there, yeah. Now if I kick that hornet's nest, I've made a whole bunch of friends, right?
Well,
one day when it's like, well, it turns out, Dave, you disqualified yourself from public office because you had a radio show.
You know what? It'll probably be worth it.
It might be. yeah, I'd be a very human candidate.
Like, there you go.
You want to know about flaws? Oh, glad we had this time.
You might get some votes because people like it when, you know, you just say exactly what you're thinking. So it's refreshing.
Yeah. Or when you admit you're wrong. There's a weird one, right? You can't ever be wrong in politics because they'll bring that back forever.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's
true. Oh, buddy. Remember, we get the candidates that are willing to endure the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
your name.
Who we get. The candidates
drug through the gutter
endure.
And
and the families that are willing to go through it with them. Right? Like, ugh. So that's always been my thing. It's like, hey, would you run for office? I'm like, I got three daughters. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's hard enough being a kid without being a politician's kid.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yep. It's hard enough being an adult sometimes. All right, Matt, let's talk about this election. So we can't even handicap it yet, right?
Nope.
I mean, I'm looking at the live results. They're just now trickling in. It's way too soon to call anything.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And there are now those that are suspecting that it's going to probably not be decided tonight.
Yeah.
It could drag out for quite some time.
Or it could be a landslide. We don't
know.
Could
be.
We've seen it happen before. It could happen again.
I think it's safe to say Oregon will be blue.
Yep.
Right? I'm not saying if that's good, bad, or otherwise. I'm just saying it's probable.
Yeah.
My job is, remember, you know, it's less about opinion than it is about, well, what do you do?
Okay. Well, let's pivot over because we've got a lot of show content for today.
All right. What do you want to talk about, man?
So I want to talk about, you know, what happens if Harris wins? What happens if Trump wins? And then what are the effects on the stock market? So on equities, maybe on bonds. We're going to theorize. We're going to guess. So this isn't investment advice, but we're just going to speculate.
Okay. So we'll talk about what we think investments might do depending on who wins.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's do that. But we'll take our first break. When we come back, you're going to tell me who we want to talk. Who do we assume wins first?
Okay. Oh, you're going to put me on the spot. I like it. I'll go
we'll
there.
See.
I'll
all
play
right.
that game. I'll
well,
play that game.
We'll play that game when we get back. I'm Dave Littlejohn
and Matt Dixon.
We got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, this is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And we are back. I cannot wait even a second today because we got so much more to cover and I talked way too much.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to the True Wealth Show. Grab the catch up tomorrow on the podcast at littlejohnfs.com. Matt, we're talking today about like how should investors position based on election outcomes?
Yeah. And you.
So like, I guess first, before we say like one candidate should win and should lose, right?
Yep.
But we also have the disposition of Congress. If I threw in there, so Congress either aligned with, like, so like fully aligned with party, split, or fully opposite. Okay, so it's kind of like a tag here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's most relevant to our listeners is the presidential outcome.
Yep.
But it does matter the disposition of Congress, right?
It really does, because if he gets in and the Democrats win the House, a lot of stuff is going to get stalled and stuff won't go through.
Right.
And so, yeah, it really does make a huge deal. Is it a, you know, do the Democrats win the House and the presidency? Mm-hmm. Do, you know, is it a combination where, you know, Trump gets in as president and then the Democrats still win the House, or do the Republicans sweep? That's really the question.
Yeah.
And the markets would care about a sweep.
Yes, I think they really would. But let's, so I'm really curious, because I want to know, like, first we'll talk about, like, what does the market care about? What's forecasting? I think.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sort of taking you, again.
Yeah.
Matt really did a lot of the footwork on this. Well, we talk a lot about it, but still, you did a lot.
Well,
of
I love to follow it because it's fascinating, right?
Yeah,
like, you look at the betting odds, go back a month or two. Maybe it's been more than a month, but maybe 2 or 3 months ago. Harris was favored to win the election, right? She was leading in the polls, and she was winning when you look at the betting odds. So the betting odds were predicting Harris wins this thing. And some stuff happened, debates, all the stuff. And we watched the betting odds start to reflect a Trump win. And at one point, he was nearing like a 70% odds of winning the election. So it got really, really close to 70%. And it tailed off all the way down to around 61% right now. That's where we're at today.
Okay, so closer.
He was at one point projected to win every single swing state. That has now flip-flopped. The betting odds are now showing that Trump loses in Michigan and in Wisconsin, but wins all the other swing states. So Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada, and Arizona. So things have, you know, obviously been shaking up and changing as we go. But right now the betting odds are predicting a Trump win.
Right.
And what's really wild, I checked it this morning. I don't know if it's
where
changed
since
then.
Where are you checking your odds at if other people want to?
Polymarket.
I was going to say, that seems like a pretty popular space to look.
What's really wild, if you go in there, you can actually see how much money has been bet on each candidate. And that, you know, is constantly changing. And you can actually see the flow of money. And it is absolutely insane to see how much money has been bet on this election. There is so much, like, riding on this for people. Yeah.
The current election winner for 2024 shows Trump 61, Harris 39.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. With 3.3 billion of betting volume.
It's wild. The volume keeps ratcheting up in a huge way. Like, how much money is it showing on Trump right now? You're not that far
I'm
into
not
the
that
site.
Deep into it.
Yeah.
It's interesting because the popular vote suggests that Harris wins the popular vote.
Yep.
But the electoral vote, margin, we don't care.
Here it is. I've got the numbers for you. So dollar wise. It's gone way up in the last 2 days. This is insane. So Trump now has $1.3 billion bet on him to win.
Billion.
Yeah, and Harris is sitting at $860 million riding on her to win.
$861 million, yeah. So that's crazy to see the just how much is going on here.
I'm getting into the weeds with this, but Polymarket actually launched an investigation to see where is all this money coming in from. Because if you're inside the U.S., you're technically not allowed to bet on this on the U.S. elections. And so I can remember checking this not that long ago, and it was like $250 million roughly on each candidate being bet, and now we're into the billions. And so what that indicates to me is, you know, maybe some people really have strong inside knowledge as to what's happening here.
And there are implications, no doubt.
I mean,
no
I don't doubt. Think we know who's going to win, because then you're saying it's fully rigged, right? And I'm not willing to say that.
Yeah,
but
no,
I think there's...
I think this is handicapping the same way, like, in sports, you see handicapping based on a lot of factors. But there are still wild card factors that can't really be predicted or, you know, so...
Voter fraud.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I had something in my throat.
ID.
Oh,
excuse me.
Man.
Sorry. Anyway.
Oh,
we're
gosh.
Gonna I don't even care. Yeah. I mean, we could have hot water.
Well, let's have fun with it. Right.
That one's, it turns out that should even be a partisan issue.
No, right? I mean, let's
like,
be honest.
Voter ID shouldn't be partisan.
No.
Like, I can't buy most stuff. I can't use a credit card without ID. Yeah. But I can
vote
cast
without
a vote.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, just ridiculous. And it's insulting to suggest people can't get ID. They can get ID,
mm-hmm.
right? Unless they're not supposed to have ID.
Right.
Okay, that's the way those rules work. So this is just absurd. And anybody, like, nobody's ever made a viable argument to me, like, how that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, yeah. back to, so let,
back
again,
to home
pick
court.
One. We got
to
pick yeah. one so we can help our listeners here. We're
all right,
just rambling.
Let's start with Harris. How about that?
Okay.
What happens if Harris wins? I think the low-hanging fruit, the one that everyone has kind of talked about, is we should see maybe a bump in that renewable clean energy stuff, right? Like
that
that's,
totally makes sense. Yeah.
Well, and there's been policy support for it, you know. They've been funding this for 4 years now,
well,
right?
It makes sense on most of the levels,
right?
Right. It makes sense if the Harris regime represents a more globalist style of politics,
yep.
right? Which is sort of cross-country coalesce. What do you call it? I want to call them coalitions. There you
yeah.
go. Coalitions for policymaking, right?
Yep.
And so the idea that we need to get the countries aligned and policy and environment
well,
is one of those biggies.
Yeah, and follow the flow of money, right? 400.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, Biden and Harris threw $430 million at 15 different coal communities. They're putting their money into these areas where it's like, well, we don't really love coal, so here's some money. Like, hope this makes it better. But that's all government is anymore anyway. It's like, where do we throw money? It's sad.
It definitely feels like the government spends a lot more time putting its thumb on the scale and picking. I've said this a lot. My biggest objection to government conceptually is that it chooses winners and losers too often.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And they choose it way too frequently with just a checkbook. It's like, oh, we're gonna fix something. Just give me a pen and a checkbook.
Right. But you know, the government comes in on social issues and decides to pick winners and losers. And so those are the areas where I find myself going, not a fan, because picking winners and losers is bought by lobbyists, right?
Yep.
That's a money game.
Right.
And I don't feel like the government of the people and for the people should be choosing, well, which people are we talking about here?
Yeah.
It's for everybody.
Well, and the Democratic Party has also really supported healthcare access, right?
Yep.
And so I think, you know, if Harris were to win, the healthcare, the biotech, all of that, they want that accessible. They want to make it, you know, into the hands of more and more people.
Will
so,
you share a little bit about the pricing in concept that you talked to me about
yes,
earlier today?
Yeah.
This, I think our investors really should hear this.
So I read an article from Bloomberg. And
our listeners.
Yeah. And it was saying the market has largely priced in a Trump win already. And I'm like, where? And so I started digging. And one of the positions that we follow is a major multi-billion dollar healthcare company. And the stock price just keeps dropping.
Well, and let me say, we can talk about this company. I'm just going to disclaim. So the company is Merck.
Yeah.
Right? It's a pharmaceutical company. This is not a recommendation. We're talking about it. We own it for specific reasons and for certain clients. Okay?
Sure.
And so without context, we're not making any recommendation here. We're just going to talk about our observations in this position.
Right. And we're looking at this company and everything on paper looks fine. Financially, stuff looks fine.
Right.
But
I mean, the pipeline of drugs, the stuff you normally look at, you're like,
and they're
uh-huh.
super diversified. They're in, you know, all sorts of different areas. But the stock price keeps going down and down and down. And it's like slid 8% or something in the last
week.
What's
like off 25% since July?
For the year. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really down. And so one of the theories is here, it's pricing in that Trump's going to win and that availability, that sales volume, all of it will be down if Trump isn't pushing this Medicare and everything for all, where it's just like pushing this pipeline of healthcare access.
Well, and there are so many theories around that, but I think rather than going down the rabbit hole of the theories, just agreeing with you and saying it's fascinating that very well may be true. It certainly anecdotally looks true.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, the price is going down. If Trump wins, it kind of fits that
mm-hmm.
explanation.
Sure. So that's been an interesting one to
yeah.
observe. Yeah. The other one, as far as like stocks are concerned, I think, you know, you got to look at like what Harris is doing with affordable housing, or what Biden and her have done over the last 4 years. And I didn't realize it until I started running the numbers and the research into how much they've actually spent so far.
Yeah, it's pretty staggering when we started looking on paper.
It was way more than I thought.
Quiet. It was sort of a quiet spend, and then you look at it and go, whoa.
Yeah, you look at the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021.
Yeah.
There was so much money spent there. Like, just for homeowners assistance, that was like $10 billion.
Okay.
And then there was an emergency housing voucher that was $5 billion. Yeah. There was a homeless assistance fund that was like $5 billion.
Okay.
And then the one that, you know, this isn't all housing, but a lot of it, you know, is there was that fiscal recovery fund that was $350 billion.
Yeah.
So if you just
tallying this up, that's $370 billion.
Right. And
you
so
just described.
Yeah.
And not all of that, a chunk of it. But let's say, let's take out, you know, even half of it. You're still like, that's 390 almost. Or I'm sorry, that's $190 almost billion dollars.
Yeah. And there are ways to invest in real estate and REITs, real estate investment trusts.
Yeah.
And some of those are focused on low income housing. So in theory, if we're going to keep writing blank checks for housing, and, you know, Harris has talked about that before, that she really wants to do things to help people get into homes, like, what was it, David? Do you remember, like, $15,000 for new first-time home buyers that she wants to hand out?
It was a really large number, I thought. Like,
maybe
like
it was
50.
More. Maybe it was more. It was a ton of money, right?
I thought it was like maybe I'm confusing that with the maybe it's 25.
Maybe that sounds
like
right.
25,000 down payment assistance, and there was some things that went with it, but it was significant because we all looked at the, like, everybody that won't qualify, you kind of look at this and you're like, great, it just drives the price of houses higher.
Right.
Right? Well, everybody can spend $25,000 more on the same supply of housing.
Yeah, your $300,000 house could be a $400,000 house.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
great idea. Wonderful idea. I love it. So great.
And I know the policy is probably not intended to work that way because, you know, you have to have had, you know, rental history for 2 years and some other things. And so what it's saying is, like, if you couldn't build up a down payment while you're renting, then we'll give you the equivalent of a down payment to stop renting.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is still that it's a kind of it's an interesting appeal to a larger portion of the population.
I hate
for redistribution.
It so much, David, because I think back to, like, how did I get my first house?
Yeah.
I mean, I had to sell stuff to come up with a down payment,
right?
Like, it wasn't just this handout, and I had to come up with the money. I had to save for a long time, and it was worth it because, yay, I own a house. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, man, if you don't know what it's like to work for it, it just incentivizes this lazy behavior that makes me want to vomit. Same as, like, forgiving student loan debt. It's like you agreed to borrow money and pay it back for this experience to go get a college education. Like, what if college should be free? Your home should, you know, here you go. Like,
oh, don't get me started. You know where this
vomit.
Goes.
It makes me want to puke. Like, you want something, work hard and pay for it. There you go.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to elect you.
Yeah, I know.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
All right. I realize. I'm looking at the clock.
Are we long?
So we're a little long. Let's do this. I want to know, so Harris gets in. You've talked about the year. So what do you do as an investor if that's the case?
Okay, I have.
We're not going to give specific advice. We're going to talk concepts, but we are also going to take this important break. But if you want to know, like, where do I put my money, you're going to want to stick around and come back. All right, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You're listening to The True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. We are talking about the election, and what we're trying to do is set the table for not who's going to win or lose, but, like, depending on what happens, what should we do? And we just talked about Harris a little bit, so I'm gonna summarize fast, Matt, and kind of ask you. Like,
go for it.
Basically, the idea is that if the Harris administration were to come into its own, that we would expect a lot of it is continuation of current policies of the Biden administration, right? Makes sense. She's the vice president. So probably renewable energy and clean tech would be major areas of focus for the administration. Broader access to healthcare and probably a lot of pharma, specifically with a focus on low income, getting greater access potentially. Yep. And then the theme of trying to make housing more affordable.
Sure. Okay?
There are also some other elements that we didn't directly discuss, but I think we need to, which is things like likely a higher tax regime, which would change your strategy if you're an investor. Now, keep in mind, we are not saying to do these things. We're saying if these things were to occur, you might consider. So speak with your financial professional about whether or not this is appropriate. So that's what I'm saying. This isn't advice. This is just potential strategy where something to play out. Okay, so let's talk about, like, for example, this higher tax regime. What are some things that people might want to consider?
So one of the things, like, I want to talk maybe a little bit about the fixed income space, right? Because we just talked about stocks. Like, what about bonds and stuff? Like, I'm thinking about municipal bonds as an example. If we're going to, if Harris is going to pour money into infrastructure, green, renewable energy, there might be opportunities to invest in some bonds that are paying, you know, with maybe some tax incentives or something in that space.
Right. Well, and the beauty of it is municipal bonds are typically federal and state tax free.
Right.
At least in the state. Yeah. It's so a municipal bond in the state.
So for that high income earner.
Yeah. So if you're getting a higher tax bracket, municipal bonds start to look more attractive on a tax equivalent yield basis. Right.
Yep.
Treasuries can look more attractive because they're federally tax free. Right. So
right.
these both become relevant.
You mentioned a higher tax environment, which there you go. Treasury bonds might be that safe haven in a really high tax environment.
Right. Right.
Because, so, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so these are all things that start to play into
sure.
the equation, right? We're talking about what are categories where you'd likely to see government, again, putting its thumb on the scale, and is it going to make things better or worse, right, as an investor?
Well, and
right?
think about it this way, too. Democrats historically spend more money than Republicans in office. Like, I'm not,
well,
that's just
the
facts,
wacky thing.
Right?
Oftentimes, the stock market goes up more
sure.
with Democratic
right.
regimes.
But,
and it kind of makes sense if you're spending more on a credit card.
So here's something to think about. If the government is spending more, that could lead to an increase in the issuance of treasuries, right?
Yep.
Because the government needs more
financing.
More financing. So you could continue to see yields steady. I don't know. That's just a theory.
Well, I mean, the yield curve has not suggested that the that we're going to see higher rates. In fact, we're saying the economy is largely healthy by a lot of metrics, but anecdotally, it doesn't feel as healthy because of the way inflation has occurred. And what I think what we're really seeing more of, and it's hard to say, is the stratification between the haves and the have-nots. Like
right.
that continues to divide more. And so, like, economic health is maybe less obvious than it used to be because of those backdrops.
Yeah. I just got to throw this out here. This is wild. I just checked Polymarket again. It's been 10 minutes or something since we've talked to people.
Right.
Trump was sitting at a 61% chance.
Jeez.
It jumped to 68 in the last 10 minutes. That's wild.
It's got to be based on the way election stuff's rolling in.
Partly that, but I think it's also money flow, right? Like how money is flowing into the...
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah, they got to recalculate.
Money is flowing in as they're getting, as people are listening
more.
To the odds.
Yeah, betting more.
So in real time, it's like
it's radically changing
stuff. Yeah.
But we talked about this earlier. How has the market started to price in a Trump win? And I think one of the areas we've really seen that, and it's been really apparent, is in that aerospace and defense sector.
Right.
I mean, we have seen the Lockheed Martins and the Raytheons and those companies really surge in the lead up to this election. And so I think that's another, you know, if we get a result that Trump does win, I think that might be a segment of the market that we continue to see kind of grow. And it makes sense, right? Because if we look back to 2019, the U.S. defense budget was like over $700 billion, which, to put that into perspective, that was the largest budget like when you adjust the terms for, you know, what was money back then to what is money today.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the largest we've spent since World War II. Put that in perspective.
Yeah. So big.
Right. And so in the event that Trump wins, I mean, let's just look at how he's talking. He looked at Israel's defense system with that Iron Dome
and so forth.
And he's like, why don't we have that? And I mean, he makes a valid point, you know.
Well, except that we don't have neighbors that are right next door that can lob missiles with really short notice.
True. But in the event that some bigger conflict were to take place.
It'd be like submarines and things like that.
Sure.
I'm not a military strategist, so I can't really comment great about that stuff. I mean, there's some things that I think, you know, basic intelligence suggests. But I think Israel is in a unique position. There's probably reason. But
you look
at
his track record.
The bottom
record,
line you're saying is it's not whether or not it's like he's interested, right? It's like,
he is. Well, yeah, I mean, he created the next branch of the military, the
Space Force.
So that, you look at that.
That
and I'm
one
like,
I continue to say, that makes more sense than it gets credit for. Like, it's funny to make fun of. But if you think about the number of satellites in the sky and the number of things that are going up now and how it's getting crowded and things in space, if you get hit by a high-speed object, it breaks stuff.
And what happens if someone starts shooting all of your satellites down
and then
you start to lose the ability to communicate inside your own borders and the chaos that ensues?
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean, having some security on that end,
as this new frontier emerges, that somebody needs to kind of understand what's going on up there. You can't just, you know, leave it up to chance.
Yeah.
So, or at least you shouldn't, I don't believe.
I got another one for you.
Okay.
So, the whole banking sector, I'm eyeballing that, right? And
now, are we still talking about what happens with Harris?
Nope, Trump.
Oh, I pivoted.
Aerospace and
defense. You got to be paying better attention. So I know the aerospace and defense you kind of pivoted to. Here's a sector as an example of.
Yeah.
I don't know if we were still talking
about.
Oh,
yeah. I'm fully pivoting over
okay,
to what
so
the heck happens
if Trump
wins. Okay, so
everybody that's listening, just so you know, that's the. Yeah. We're talking about the other side of the coin now.
Yeah. So the other side of the coin being, you know, what about the banking sector? And Trump likely would favor some deregulation in that sector. And I think, you know, you got to look at what did he do before as an example. You can go back to 2018 when he rolled back some of that regulation. I think it was Dodd-Frank regulation. But you can go back and look at that where he was trying to help out these financial institutions by reducing compliance costs. And so, you know, you start looking at what did he do in the past, and it's like, well, he's probably going to do something similar if he gets elected this time. And so, but what's odd, you know, we talk about, has the market priced some of this in? I would argue that it has, because we've seen banking stocks really move higher recently. But, you know, you could also argue the flip side of that and say everything's been moving higher, it seems like, lately. The market's had a crazy run.
It's funny because I'm not so convinced that this was the market being clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this was an example of looking at the backdrop and saying, well, regardless of who wins or loses, what are the trends within the marketplace, right?
Right.
And so a lot of the movement in financials has been in insurance. Okay, and what have we seen with insurance? We've seen inflation, and we have seen a lot of natural disasters in some fairly public areas that have caused significant insurance claims.
Yeah.
And so what do insurance companies do then? They reprice and they increase premiums, right? And so that means greater cash flow through the organization.
Yeah.
Okay, so it does stand to reason that insurance companies will push more money through their general accounts in general because they have to have the actual assets to back up their liabilities, right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But the question then is, well, if Trump gets in, though, what might continue? There is something really significant that I think is worth discussing about Trump that's a major policy difference, too. I don't think we've touched on it at all yet.
Well, tell me what it is.
No. I have to make us take this last
break.
You
don't have to.
Oh, totally do it.
You know what? We'll pay the commercials. Let's just keep going.
We're taking the last break, or the engineers get angry. But when we come back, this is a legit policy difference, and I think it makes a difference for investors. We'll talk about it in just a second. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
We got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
No, we don't. Welcome back to the True Wild Show, where I got to cut Matt off from his crazy off-air antics.
Yeah, I'm going to get a suit or something over here.
No, it was totally benign, but also totally ridiculous. Hey, we are talking about this election. We couldn't avoid it. Well, we wouldn't avoid it because we're just – it's fascinating and interesting, right? I'm actually really –
We could be here till midnight announcing this
thing.
Dude,
I would so hang out. If our listeners were like – you know what? Just call the show. I think I might just phone it in and be like,
"Wouldn't
you know what?
Be
we're
fun
doing election
to
coverage.
Argue with people until midnight."
Oh man, it'd be super fun.
Yeah, we still have time, right? We have 7 minutes, and you don't want to argue with us. We're feeling a little feisty.
I'm like, can we come back after the news when they're doing election coverage and just be like, just comment the whole time and make snarky jokes?
Yeah.
Could this be the snarky channel for the night?
Sure.
Oh, that'd be the best.
We could make jokes about what are you going to do with your 118 money? Go buy some Taco Bell that's now $25 a.
Yeah. All right. That got dark.
Yeah.
It didn't. All right. Look, policy difference between Trump and Harris.
Sure.
Energy. Very big difference, right?
Okay.
Particularly domestic production of both natural gas and then pumping of oil. One of the things that Trump has really kind of harped on is this idea that he would increase domestic production and become potentially energy independent because there is such a known supply capable of making the United States energy independent.
Yeah.
He has stated in different interviews that he believes that this would help to drive inflation lower because it would change one of the major input costs. It's almost the opposite of 118, right? Like where you tax on every way. If you made every step of the chain have the fuel cost be cheaper and energy cost cheaper, does that then produce – what's the outcome? Does it – A – make the product cheaper to the consumer, or B, improve the margin for the companies.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Rarely do I see inflation taken back off the table. I just don't see prices rolled back.
Here's a radical thought for you. Like, just picture this. Are your eyes closed? Are you?
I'm wide open picturing it.
Imagine if the Biden-Harris team had walked into the White House with this roaring economy and everything, and the first thing they do is not, you know, kill the Keystone Pipeline. They just continue on with the path of, like, you know, let's be energy independent. Like, they just don't buck that at all. And they kind of keep the border kind of tied down. Can you imagine how different this election could be just on those two things right there?
I think they would probably win in a landslide.
I do, too. I'm like, all you had to do was not blow it, like, to the nth degree. Like, keep gas and oil reasonably affordable and inflation down.
Well, because
like,
when the economy had it kind of been blown up because of COVID. You know, they walked in the door and it was already blown
up. Yeah, I'll
up.
Give them that.
But it would have been really easy to just say, all we have to do is stop fumbling and kind of climb out of this thing in some reasonable way.
Right.
But not get out over our skis where we take social policy to the millionth degree. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest one is probably the border.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, it's just...
Like,
it's
look
so
at how Arizona's voting. That'll tell you all you need to know.
It's really fairly indefensible to suggest that, well, we should just have a completely open border and then just tax more because it's... There's no way around the fact that you have to do redistribution. And it's pretty radical because the only people that are going to pay are the people that were here legally. And that money has to be then turned around and sort of funneled into folks that are here illegally. And you're like... If you're like, well, they're working too, or this, that, and the other. Yeah, but there's a lot more of the underground economy, and it's just how you can't say that you're a area with law and order when you start with no law and order.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's just fundamentally doesn't work. And so, and that's just the issue. It's like for folks to say, well, it's not compassion. You can't just send everybody back. It's like, you're making the wrong argument.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The argument isn't about human compassion. Like that's an argument of like we need to come up with a better system of reform.
Yeah. You're saying like just look at the baseline.
But just pretending
here.
It doesn't exist and just letting folks in. It's like that doesn't make any sense either.
Mm-hmm.
So like either fix the system so that it can reflect your compassion.
Yeah.
Well, not either. Fix the system so it can reflect your compassion. But don't ignore it and say that's compassion.
It's mind-blowing to me how many people are just like, well, the border should be open. Anyone that wants in, just waltz right in here and, like, hang out. And I'm like, gosh, that – no.
Well,
it doesn't work that way.
At the same time, and there shouldn't – you shouldn't be able to have firearms.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, you can't do that because, no, you have to let anybody in, regardless of whether or not they've been screened for safety or mm-hmm. anything. And we want to strip your ability to defend yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how do you expect somebody to be willing
just
to do that?
Where's the logic in it? There is none. That's what I'll argue that with anyone till the cows come home.
I'll just tell you that it's not what it's about. It's not about human compassion. This is about making swing states not swing states
mm-hmm.
by swinging the population so that it becomes politically overwhelming. And so this is really an electoral college move.
Yeah.
And for the person that says, fine, then get rid of the electoral college. It's like, that's not the move either, right? Because you can just say, the reason that California gets wildfires is because a lot of forest fire management set in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon too, right? But for California is the one that lost more cities than Oregon. That's why I use that example.
Sure.
Anyway. Well, there you have it, folks. At the end of the day, the markets will react. And by the way, Congress matters. We didn't discuss it much on this one.
No.
But, like, if you can't get policy through Congress, it never gets to the president's desk in the first place. So president gets some executive order privilege, but only so much. So bottom line, don't panic. Don't jump off a bridge if your candidate doesn't win.
Right. Okay? It just means there's opportunities in other areas.
Right. And so it's our job to help
for
you
now.
Find them regardless
now,
of who wins in the end. And that's what we're going to do. If you're looking for help, how do they reach us, Matt?
Yeah, 541-375-0898. Or just go to the website and chat us. It's littlejohnfs.com.
Right. Also, you can grab past episodes if you want to get more information. At the end of the day, find someone you like and trust if you're not going to do it yourself. And if you don't have that someone, give us a call. But until next time, we are out of time. So may the election be a fun night. May your candidate of choice win, or may my candidate of choice win.
That one.
All right. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
We'll see you later.